We're very excited to have our next guest on, a fantastic season at the plate, in the field. He'll be part of the Blue Jays leadoff tonight at Rogers Center. Kevin Pillar joins us now on Brady and Walker. It's great to have you on. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Really good. You've been asked every question a million times by fans. Have you ever been asked who would play you in a movie? Would you ever have a guy? Would you have a guy that you'd look at and go, that's the name, that's the guy?
No, I've never been asked that question. It's a good question, though.
I don't know if it is a good question.
I'll think about it. I'll think about it, and I'll give you an answer by the end of this segment.
It doesn't have to be an actor. It would just be more like a doppelganger. We love doppelgangers.
Oh, doppelganger.
And does he have to do
maybe
his own?
Mac Miller?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That's the one I hear a lot. I don't know if I'd want him to play me in a movie, but...
Well, especially if he wimped out on climbing the left field wall and you know, face-first dives on turf. Like there's some guys that do their own stunts and some... Like, Harrison Ford was still doing his own stunts in the last Star Wars movie, and he's 71. Like, you got to get a man's man to do it, right?
Yeah, I think I'd play myself.
That's not bad. Howard Stern did, and nobody complained. Nobody complained about private parts. You're right about that.
Yeah,
Kevin Pillar Kevin Pillar... In the Kevin Pillar story,
right, correct.
You get money every time your name gets mentioned. If that's the case, so the guys, the GM and the president, are going to talk tonight. This feels like it's getting much closer for you guys, and in terms of getting to spring training. And I know they want the first regular season game to happen. How do you feel? How antsy are you to finally get this going? Especially Kevin, the way last year ended.
We're all really excited to get back to work. I've been down in Florida for the last 2 weeks, working out at the complex down there, hanging out with some of the guys that have been down there for a while, just really trying to pick up on that camaraderie, that chemistry that we had last year. And, we touched on it a lot last year, just about how much guys enjoyed being around each other. And, it's the same today. We really enjoy each other's company. We like pushing each other. Once you get a taste of that postseason experience, I mean, that's the only reason we play the game now, is to win. And, we're all working towards that same goal together.
Baseball's a weird sport in the sense that so many guys can go through such a large chunk of their careers, especially as a younger guy. And I mean, look at Jose, right? And never see the postseason and wait years and years and years and might not get a chance. It's tough to make the playoffs in baseball. Do you feel that everybody getting that experience together and 90% of you are back, how does that change you? How does that change the room? How does that even change going into spring training, knowing it's not this far off fantasy that no one has any idea what it's like?
Yeah. First of all, I think I'm extremely fortunate to have gotten to experience the postseason during my first full season. I looked around in that room and there was a bunch of guys that had never been to the postseason. They played close to 10 years and never been there, so I understand how rare it is and how precious it is. And we definitely enjoyed every moment of being there, but the postseason will definitely change you forever. If you guys had a crystal ball and told me that we weren't going to the postseason next year, I wouldn't even show up to spring training. That has become the only motivation to play this game, is to get back to that postseason and get further than we did the year before. And ultimately, we all want to have that feeling of being world champs, being the last team standing at the end of the day. And that's what we're working towards.
So you had a fantastic year statistically. And like, you stayed healthy. You were an everyday player. You swiped 25 bags. You hit 280. But players and you're a professional. You always expect more of yourself. Like, I think us in the media, we would say today, hey, if you could sign on the dotted line, and Kevin Pillar is guaranteed to have the same season in 2016 that he did in 2015, we would all sign up for it. What about you?
Definitely not. I think I learned a lot about myself last year. First of all, I had to learn how to prepare myself mentally and physically to go out there and play 159 games a year. It was my first time. And then playing an extra month in the postseason, I've definitely – had the opportunity to look back and reflect on that this offseason and change the way that I go about my working out and the way that my body moves. Fortunately for me, I got in the hands of some good people, point out some red flags as far as movement patterns in my body. And, that's been my focus the last week or 2 weeks since I've been down in Florida, is just getting myself to move better. But yeah, I don't think I would sign up. I don't think I would sign my name next to that for the dotted line. I know what I'm capable of. I think to some degree people lose track of your pass record in the minor leagues. I have a track record of hitting, and I know I can hit, and I'm going to show everyone that I can hit. I think in some way the type of season I had offensively got overshadowed of what I was able to do defensively, and I'm hoping this time next year people just talk about what a good overall player I am as opposed to being a tremendous defender.
We think that's great because we had Chris Colabello on 2 weeks ago, and he said, "Listen, I'm a little tired of the gag that I'm bad defensively. I've only ever played first base mostly, but I'm actually a pretty good first baseman. Like, don't show one clip of me being stuck out in left field when I had to play, and then you don't think I can play the first base position. And you're the opposite. You're like, there's some great catches. There's some highlight reel moments." I'm proud of my bat as well. He's saying the same thing about his glove.
Yeah, and I don't want people to take that for that I'm not extremely proud of what I was able to accomplish defensively last year. That was something I felt like I didn't need to prove to myself, but I need to prove to others that I was an everyday center fielder. For the beginning parts of my career in the big leagues, I filled in left field and right field, and occasionally got a chance to play center field. And even the start of 2015, I was put in left field, and that was something I think I needed to prove to everyone except myself that I'm a major league center fielder. I can go out and play that position, but I know what I'm capable of doing offensively. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what kind of season I think I'm capable of having offensively. We'll look back on that at the end of this season. I think it's very easily to get labeled in this game. Chris, it's something that he takes a lot of pride in. I've spent a lot of time with him this off season down in Tampa, working out with him, and he knows he's a good defensive first baseman. He knows he can play the position. We all saw what he did in the postseason, how he was able to help us defensively in both series. Labels follow us, and it's something that we work hard to get rid of. And at the end of the day, we all just want to be known as good baseball players, not offensively, defensively, just good baseball players, all around players. And that's what we're working on doing.
Kevin Pillar joining us from the AL East champion Toronto Blue Jays. It's a big season ticket holder event tonight at Rogers Center. We've been talking a lot of Super Bowl naturally. We've had a lot of NFL players on current and X, and they the one thing they say about the bigger games is it goes so much faster. All of a sudden you're behind, 7-0 at the end of the first quarter, and you're like, oh my God, there's only 45 minutes left. You've had 45 postseason plate appearances. Is that the case with an at-bat in the postseason? Like, it felt like a couple of those games, it's 1-0 Texas after two innings, and people are like, oh, my God, we've only got 21 outs left. How is it, from a player's perspective, that sense of urgency?
Yeah, I would say, looking back on it, I feel like it goes really, really quickly. I felt like in the moment, the games were very slow. They were there was just extra level of concentration that you don't experience for 162 games. You have moments where you experience that, whether it be in a big game or you just have that extra focus that day, but every pitch, every movement you made in the field, every time you walked up to the plate, every time you took a pitch or swung, everything just kind of seemed to, at least to me, it seemed a lot slower. I just felt like I was that much more in the moment every time. It's kind of crazy that you said I had 45 postseason at-bats. It didn't even seem like that. So I guess in some way, maybe it did go by fast, but just that level of focus just elevates to somewhere that you've never really experienced.
You know you hit a home run, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I'm double checking. Hey, listen, everything gets foggy, some memorable.
I do remember having a good offensive postseason.
Yes.
Maybe something that's overlooked as well. But to be honest, I think everyone in that lineup was just trying to do their job, get on base, and get it to the next guy. And, we showed moments where we were the team that we were in the regular season. Everyone talks about how the postseason game's supposed to change and the pitching's supposed to dominate it, but we were able to score runs. We just ran into pitchers that threw pitches that we weren't able to hit, and that's just the way the game goes sometimes.
So put yourself in, they'd be a little loose on you, but put yourself in John Gibbons' pants for a second. Ben Revere is gone. There's no Devin Travis for the first little while. If the season started tomorrow, who should hit leadoff?
That's up to Gibby to decide.
I know that.
I've been campaigning for a little bit. I think I would make a good leadoff hitter. I think it's something that I've experienced in the minor leagues. I've also experienced hitting in the middle of the lineup. To me, my job doesn't change. My mindset doesn't change. My job's to get on base, whether I'm hitting eighth, ninth, seventh, first, third. I don't think it's going to change me. My style of the way I approach going to the plate, if I was hitting first or eighth or ninth, my job is to get good pitches to hit and get on for the big boys and come around and try to score runs.
So, as mentioned, we had Colabello on, and he gave us all the details of your guys' fabulous fantasy football draft. Oh, and it wasn't even him that said this. It was Marco Estrada. He came on a while ago as well. And he pointed out, he said, you and Ryan Goen shared a team, correct?
That's true.
And he said, you guys came out of the gates. You were the trash-talking group that it caught up to you. How did your fantasy football season go?
I'm not going to say we were the trash-talking group. My co-owner, my buddy over there, was running his mouth a lot when we started off the season 7-0. I've been in sports long enough to know it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And we just fell a little short. I mean, we made it to postseason, we made it to semifinals, and we lost. And that's just how it goes. You can set your lineup, you can put the best team you got out there on paper, but it's a matter of what the guys are able to do on Sundays. And for us, it just wasn't enough.
So before you go, they've almost left, at least offensively. Mark Burley might retire. We know David left, and maybe that was always going to be the case. But your lineup. How relieved are you that the lineups, it's essentially you guys, and they're saying, hey, we know you got unfinished business. We saw how this team played the last 60, 70 games of the season. The new management wants to give you, I mean, Alex could have been here and maybe two or three guys go out and two or three new guys come in. No one would know, but they've left you guys together.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that they didn't really mess with, our lineup too much. Losing Ben Revere is going to be a big loss. I mean, that's one of the most consistent guys in baseball over the last 5-6 years. You know what you're going to get. You're going to get close to 200 hits. He's going to bat over 300. He's going to steal 30 bases. He's going to give you tremendous at-bats. That's definitely a big loss. But with that being said, guys like myself, guys like Goins, we're ready to take that next step in our career and step up and fill that void. And I remember vividly having a conversation that day we found out Revere got traded with mm-hmm. Goins about, obviously how sad we were that he's leaving. It's probably a good move for our team, bringing in Storen to help our bullpen out. But more than anything, it was about us filling that void with Revere being gone, those 200 hits. We really got to step up and do our part to replace what we lost in Revere, and we're ready to do that.
Kevin, thanks very much for this. Enjoy tonight, and we look forward to talking to you when you get down to Dunedin. You know how jacked the city and the whole country are to have you guys back playing. Thanks for doing this for us.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.